Yeah, so just the last couple, the last two lines on Tzadi Beis, it's up to Tzadi Gimel. The morale is explaining the Indian of Ramchamat Ben Akashim, Marzakash Baruch, Zakasar Lefiha, Hebrahim Teramitzis, that the Ben Shalom gave us a lot of Teramitzis. And that's how he was Mazakah. So we had a problem, the morale is a problem. We learned the Rambam, it's a while. The morale's mahalach in this is that the Zikwi. Why is it that having a lot of mitzvahs is a schus? Why is that such a great merit? It makes us more responsible. It creates more responsibility and a greater likelihood of failure. So the morale is explaining that it's not the nekuda here. The point is not statistics. It's not the question of what's the likelihood of succeeding or failing. The greatness of a Jew is the fact that he alone is equipped, that a Jew, and only a Jew, has the spiritual wherewithal to be able to live up to the expectations of such a remarkable Torah. In other words, that he has a hachana. The morale's lashon is that he's mucham, that he has a hachana, which means he has a spiritual predisposition and he has the capability. The Rosh Kodesh Baruch Hu is actually a fichach hiblam Torah mitzvahs. It's not the issue here is not can we be matzliach or not? V'zuchah can be matzliach. But the point is, the ribui, the fact that we have the vastness of Torah, indicates that a Jew contains within him a vastness of spirit, that he's a person of superhuman capabilities, and we have to know that about ourselves, that we have such kaiches and nefesh. So the morale is explaining the last two lines on Tzadi Beis. This is the school of Yiddish and the Shama, of every Jew, that a Jewish person mitzad his teva is what is muchan el hamitzvus. He is able, he has the ability to enter into the world of mitzvus and to carry out the mitzvus. Whereas a ben Noach, he has his seven, and the seven indicates, as we've spoken about before, seven indicates teva, this world. And even that has been a miserable failure throughout history, ruba de ruba, to be able to carry out the seven mitzvahs, which are geared towards the teva, towards the natural instincts of a human being. V'mayet zahara mizgara behem. Now, if the Yetzirah gives us a hard time, the Jewish people, the greater the person, the greater the people, the greater the problem that we have with the Yetzirah. So, in my Yetzirah mizgara behem, even though, of course, the morale says we have to contend with the Yetzirah, because for each one of these mitzvahs, there's a korach that stands keneged, that is opposed to our observing that mitzvah. Mikomokom mitzat etzem nafsham. That's the ikkah. Mitzat etzem nafsham uchonim el ha-Torah. That mitzad etzem hanefesh, the essence of a Jewish soul, that he has the ability, that there is such a creature in the world, that the Baruch Shalom was mechayiv. In other words, there's a human being in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechayiv to observe Torah mitzvahs. That's a gevaldig zchus. Of course, it makes us uncomfortable, it creates nachrayis. Everybody else has it easier than us. The zchus here doesn't mean you're going to win or you're going to lose. That's not the point. It's not points, if you're ahead or you're behind. The zikui of a Jew is that the Baruch Hu mezakas with the ability, with the capacity to be able to observe the entirety of Torah. Look at footnote 38. He says, Yisoid nofutz ma'od v'sifrei maral. K'fi shekosav v'netzach yisrael perek memtes. The maral wrote over there. K'far amarnu l'cha pamim harbe. The Maral says that we've already learned this many times. Shekol chait should be Yisrael mitzad mikra. That a chait, when a Jew sins, it's not essential to who he is. It's not the essence of the Jew. We did this already. We did this footnote.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
part
so then. Oh, so, okay, so we'll go quickly through it. It's not revealing the essence of the Jew. It's a mitzad mikra. It's a dibuk. Right? It's something odd that became attached to him. Every single morning you say, L'kai neshama shesat b'tahirihi. The neshama that you gave me is completely pure. So by the time we get to bed, something went wrong. In between, right? L'kai neshama started off great. Then when you go to bed, by the time it comes to Amarpul, it's not so good. Whatever happened during the day, if something went wrong, it doesn't reveal the essence of who we are. it's something that we picked up along the way that's inconsequential to who we really are. It has to be corrected. It has to be corrected, but it doesn't reveal the true self. The true self is Elokai Neshama Shasati B'Tahirhi. The true self is entirely pure. Is entirely pure. Shnas Tahirhi. So the Maral says, Vein Chet Mitzad Etzem Tzirosan. V'Gruz Hashem Kosev Yisrael Kedoshim Ba'atzim Adol Menab Chises. That's the nature of a Jew. Shachet Ein Mesiachis Lehem. V'Ik Atzim Below Chet. The Ikr of a Jew is below Chet. That's why Chazal, the Maral speaks about Chazal, that tell us the difference between Esav, who was born covered with hair, and Yaakov Avinu, who was what? An Ishtam, which he was smooth. So Chazal say that the hairiness of Esav means that he becomes entangled in this world. Like the hair of the person, he can't get out, he's entangled in the world. Mitzad who Esav is, and his descendants, there's this entanglement in physical things. Whereas Yaakov is an Ish Chalak, smooth skin, because the smoothness of the skin of Yaakov Avinu reveals the smoothness of who he essentially is, of who he really is. Therefore, when a Jew sins, it's not so difficult to extricate himself. He can get himself out of that mess. He doesn't get entangled, because Be'etzim, he's smooth. Be'etzim, he doesn't have that hairiness, that entanglement. Whereas Esav has that entanglement. He says, L'kach, therefore, Ru'im al kaparim. Therefore it's ro'i, it's proper, it's fitting, it's right, it's natural that there should be such a concept as tshuva, of kapara, of change and atonement. The tyrus atzma and chatarim, because tshuva means for a Jew to return to his natural, healthy state. It's not something which is unnatural. It's not like we think that tshuva is unbearable because I have to change my whole life. That's not true. Tshuva means returning to the most natural and healthy primordial way of life that where you originally come from. That's what tshuva means. A chait is something which is a sin, is unnatural for a Jew. And a Jew therefore is somebody who is by nature is smooth and pure, and if he gets dirty, therefore he's chayzim yad l'taros, like it says, like the tzaddikim say. There's a maimer from the tzaddikim, it's brought down all the time in the Slonim of Svarm, that a Jew is like that a Jew that sins is like a diamond that fell into the mud. So the difference is, he himself is not schmutzig, it's a diamond, but you have to be able to clean off the schmutz, you have to clean off the mud. He really is tar, he really is pure. But somebody who is inherently filthy, you could scrub, you could clean, it doesn't go away. You can't get rid of the stain of the filth. That's the beginning of Esav. That's the nature of a Jew, is that he's distant from physical matters. That's the etzem ha-nefesh of a Jew is kedoshah tohara. Therefore, when a Jew sins, he doesn't put himself into it. Therefore, like it says in the Svarma Gedoshim, Mistama, that's the Indian of Parsha Shkolim, of Masta Shekel. I mean, you have to tie in everything. Mistama is connected to the Indian of Masta Shekel. I think the Yismach Moshe said, it's brought down from Yismach Moshe, it's brought down from the Kedushas Yontif, from the Sigata, that the Indian of Masta Shekel, why only half a shekel, a chapra, a nafsha seichem? Suppose a half a shekel to bring a kapara. So it's brought down from the Tzaddikim, from the Sigatir, from the Tzaddikim, that what? Because Betzim, when a Jew sins, it's only half of him that he puts into the earth. It's Mitzad Aguf. His body he's invested into this Aveira. He's invested half of himself into the Aveira. Therefore, to pull himself out, the Machza Shekel, a half a Shekel. It's not in Gansen. Because why? Because his Neshama is not invested. The soul wasn't invested into that, into the Chet. And they say the same thing that I once mentioned before. I think they say by the Litvisher, they say from that they say in the Nusach of what changed from the time that Bissal Salanta came to the world, and before that they said what changed from the time that Balsham came to the world is that when a person does an aveir, he doesn't have such a geschmack anymore. He can't enjoy an aveir really anymore. Ever since the Balsham Tov HaKadosh, or they say from Bissal Salanta, so you can't enjoy an aveir. You know, you do an aveir, but it always bothers you. The pshat is because it's only a machsa shekel. So when you don't do something b'leiv sholem, you can't really have a geshmak. You can't really enjoy it. So when a Jew doesn't aveir, when a Jew doesn't aveir, he can't really have a geshmak because he doesn't put his entire self into it. When he does a mitzvah, he has a geshmak. And we know that that's true. When you do a toivah, when you do something good, you feel geshmak. When you do something wrong, you don't feel so geshmak. Even though b'shas ma'isa, you physically might have enjoyed it, but you don't feel a geshmak from it because it's not, because the etzem of who you are never ever participated in it. It never participated in that. And I think that I mentioned to you last time, that's the inyan of Esther Malka sending in a shade. I mentioned that last time, right? That's the inyan, because not that even if a person does something that's wrong, it's a b'deved. That's why it says in Svarm that, you know, even though it says that a person, when you do an aver, you create a malach, you create a makatri, right? A negative, you create a bad malach when you do an aver. But it says in Svarm, when a Jew does an aver, it's not a malach that's healthy. It's like he's bent over, he's disabled, you know. He's not able to see so well, he's not able to walk. It's not a healthy malach, God forbid. But when a Jew does a mitzvah, he creates a malach that's a good malach is after you, you know. When you do a mitzvah. That's the difference. He says, "Avol ha'chet b'shvil giri ha'satnei shu mezgar b'Yisrael." The chet comes from that place, from outside. Mitzad hazeh ba'chet imkene chatoim shivisel oisim mitzad humietzahar shu ha'satnei la mitzad atzma. Comes from that place. Back on top. Lefichach amru kol Yisrael yeshlem chelik le'lam haba. That's what it means. Every Jew is muchen m'zuma le'lam haba. He's muchen. V'bnei hachanosim ala Torah. Because be'etzim and who he is, he has the ability to carry out the entire Torah. It's true that many don't. And it could be that it's true that on the scorecard they're losing. In terms of mitzvahs aveiros, it's not working out well. But self kol self, a Jew b'teva of who he is a being that is a ben olam haba. B'nei hachanosim el ha-Torah. V'yoyisim is ha-amru sha-afilu kodin sh'noilin yesh lo chelik le'olam haba. Right? We spoke about that before. That even a newborn infant has a chelik le'olam haba. K'mo she is bar b'prakim. Now, when it comes to a newborn, or even that opinion that says a newly conceived infant, a fetus, has a chelik le'olam haba, it can't be mitzad what he's acquired in this world. It can't be mitzad his scorecard, pros and cons, you know, mitzvahs and aveiros. It can't be. He doesn't have a scorecard. He never did anything. So what is it, what the Chazal mean, Maral is asking, what the Chazal mean when they say that even a baby is a ben olam haba? What does that mean? Vein zerak mitzad shleimus b'yoso ba'atzmo. That's where it comes from. Mitzad the mitzad shleimus b'yoso ba'atzmo. Who he is, how he was created. Shu muchan la'tayra. That even though, unfortunately, he didn't live, but he was a being that was equipped. He was equipped to carry out a life of Torah. Olkach zoych le'olam haba. Olafichach amar rotzak kodesh baruch hu lezakas es Yisrael. That the Baruch Shalom wanted to be mezakas. Lefichach hirbalahem Torah mitzvahs. So the Baruch Shalom was marbi. He gave us much Torah and mitzvahs. Shebameshi yesh lahem ribui mitzvahs, huschus lahem bevadai. That the mere fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu created us in such a way, where we are able to live such lives, to observe Torah mitzvahs, many many mitzvahs, that Kadosh Baruch Hu created us in such a way, and bevadai that's a schus. Now he's going to talk about the Averis. He's going to talk about that in a minute.
Why can't you have a Kriyashneimah?
Why can't you have?
Why
the Reboy? Yeah. Because the Reboy, it's like, look, if you're my bright son, if I have a couple of kids and you're a bright one, so the chilik between you and the child that's not this capable would be that I would obviously give you many, many more responsibilities. Which create the sense of achrayis, but also an indication of who you are. So he's saying that because a Jewish person is mitzad his teva, he's mulchan ala Torah. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu created the way that we are able to be megala, to reveal in our lives. Just like if I would give you responsibilities like this, we would only know that you have a lot of potential. But the fact that I trust you and I give you multiple responsibilities, which I believe, as your father, would enable you to reveal the essence of who you are, that certainly is a schus. That a Jew is such a being, is such a birya, that he's able to carry out Torah mitzvahs, he doesn't know that unless he actually does it. The ribui is a zikui for a Jew, because every single mitzvah that we do, every single mitzvah is megala. It reveals the nefesh. It reveals that enormous potential that we have. which otherwise would be dormant, we wouldn't know, we wouldn't be able to experience. It would just be something in potential. I baby is a ben olam haba, because the Jew mitzat tivo, he is muchen l'olam haba. But as far as the schus that a person has to realize that, that's when it says in Perek, chiba yisayv no das lahem. Klechem, the right? Chiba yisayv no das lahem. So it means that the Baruch Shalom's love for us is that he showed us what we're capable of doing. He showed us what we're capable of doing, and we're capable of enormous things.
So everybody has that 613 shlemus?
Yeah, but the question of Kahanim and Yisrael and how it all works out with to be able to be mashlim oneself.
And to the opposite end of what he was saying, that there could theoretically there could be shlemus with one mitzvah too.
The one mitzvah could not. In other words, the neshama of a Jew is so complex, is so deep, that one mitzvah would not suffice to reveal the essence of who he is. It simply wouldn't suffice. That somehow the Baruch Shalom, with this amazing system of 613 mitzvahs, with all the drabbanim and all the minhagim, that a person is able to be mashlim himself, to himself, davkin this way.
Is that what causes the shleimus, or that?
No, there's a shleimus that's there before. Well, we shouldn't use the word shleimus, because that's dangerous. There's a hachana, right? There's the equipment, everything's in place. Then there's Bechira, and man's Bechira is to be Mashlim himself. But the fact that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave us all those Torah mitzvahs are an indication that the Jewish person, mitzad his teva, has this kaya, has this ability. And now in life, by carrying out Torah mitzvahs, he's able to reveal, to be Mashlim himself, lemaisa. Therefore, it would be hard to say that newborn infant has the same chelik in olam haba as a tzaddik who struggled with his bechira throughout his life. It would be very hard to say that he has hachon of olam haba and that a baby is a ben olam haba, but there are different madregas in olam haba. So the hashlama is not from the beginning. No, the hashlama takes place through the course of our lives. But the Baruch Shalom, but it says, Rosh Hakadosh Baruch Hu zakh shelaficha chivlam tar mitzvahs, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave us so many ways of being mashlim ourselves. So even though it's a risk,
to get to the
absolute shleimus, correct. But each mitzvah is a chelik from that. It's a chelik of that. So here he makes a very important ha'ora in footnote 41. Yisoid Godel explains it in a very interesting way here. Yisoid Godel lemeidim onim yidvarav. We're learning a very important yisoid now. What's that? Kishugas ha-machshava tofeses as aschar ha-shom le'olam haba. The normal way, the usual way that we've been brought up thinking, is that the reward that is waiting for us in olam haba, shunitan al ha-yigiyah va-tircha va-hamidah b'nisyanis shahar lo'adam b'olam hazeh. That your reward in olam haba, that one's schar in olam haba, is given to you in accordance to what the efforts and the troubles that you went through in this world and how you stood up to different challenges and tests and so on. Which of course we're going to see is, of course, that's also true. But listen, he says, he just says that that's not the entire picture. Ulefi tfisa zu, ein makom loyma shakotn shemeis yeh ben olam haba. If you're limited to this definition, that if I do, the more that I do, then I'm able to earn my place in olam haba, right, or a better place, and so on. Then and that depends upon your yigia, your efforts, and your being able to deal with the challenges and the nisyonis and so on. Then it would be impossible to understand the gemara that says that a baby who never did anything, who never struggled with anything, that a baby is a ben olam haba. What right does he have to go to olam haba? Sharei nechsoris mimenu hayigiyah v'atircha v'amidah b'nisyonis. He never had to work or struggle. He was never challenged or tested. Amda midvar mizbar. According to the morale now, what comes out is like this: shaschar hamasukan olam haba. That the meaning of schar, the meaning, this is a very big yisod. That the meaning of schar, of the reward of the coming world, where does that come from? Of course, there are different dargas, but where does it come from? It has to do with, what does it mean, ha-hat-oma? It means how matim you are for Olam Haba. Ha-hat-oma means whether or not who you are in this world is coordinated with the next world. What does that mean? Listen. Since Olam Haba is a spiritual domain, the struggles of life and overcoming the challenges of life. It's not because, you know, you're such a good guy, you work so hard. Let's give him a nice spot. That's what we always think. I mean, that's not what the moral is saying. The moral says is that it's through the struggles and through the nisyonos, the challenges of life, that a person becomes a ben olam haba, because olam haba is olam haba means a world that is not physical, a world that is spiritual, right? A person who indulges in this physical world, who gives in to his physical impulses, he's not matim to olam haba. It doesn't pass for him. It doesn't fit him. It doesn't become him. It doesn't. He could try it on. It doesn't fit. Why? Because his whole life he's indulged in physical things. He's listened to his body and not to his soul. Therefore, there's a situation of ihatama. There's a non-coordination. He's not synchronized to Olam Haba. But the person who is a bal ruach, the person who in his life stood to these challenges and went through the difficulties and struggled and so on. So Nasa Afula Adam Ruchani, he has been transformed through the course of his lifetime. He's been transformed into a person who's a Ruchani, who's spiritual. Nemeila, as a result of that, the natural result of that is Yeshna Hatama Beinu Uben Elam Haba. There is this synchronization or coordination, there is this fit between him and Elam Haba. It's not, you know, when you look, like there was a famous Puritan writer. I don't have to mention his name. So he wrote an essay called "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." It's a famous essay. So the Goyish view, the Christian view of salvation, particularly as it was expressed in that extreme school, can be summarized in this way. You are a miserable, disgusting abomination. God despises you. He hates you. But because of the loving compassion of his only son, Rechulu, he will pull you out of hell. Only by the good graces of the Lord, because you are a miserable piece of dirt. Isn't that encouraging? I mean, that's it. That's it. Salvation, redemption. It took away from man that belief that in this world he has this hata'ama. That he's facing the next world, that he has something that he can identify with the next world. In Christianity, you don't identify with the next world. You're a miserable, loathsome creature. You care about nothing except this world, and every moment of your life, you're on the threshold of sin. And if you get to a place that's called the next world, the coming world, whatever they call it, if you get to that place, it's only by the graces of a merciful God. And because somebody died for your sins. Somebody died for your sins. The evil in that perpetuated in mankind this feeling of being completely, completely out of sync with an Obermensch, with a higher human being, with a greater human being. And instead of encouraging people to change their lives, and instead of telling people that even in this world you are ben olam haba, now you are muchen legehenim. A Jew is Mulchel Olam Haba, Mitzat Tiva. He believes it. He knows it.
What about
Yetzir Lev Odom Ra? The Indian of Yetzir Lev Odom Ra'alam in Urav, the Indian of the Yetzir means, and the Enchanami, that from the beginning there is a struggle. There's a koyach, that there's an inclination, there's something that's drawing, that's pulling, but it's not the definition of who you are. It doesn't define who you are. You see, by a Muslim, it's not that he's an Odom who's para. It is a para Odom. There's a difference. It means this is who he is, Be'etzim. This is who he is, Be'etzim. So the point is that in this world, in this life, through every single challenge of this life, you are making yourself more comfortable. It's not like Hashem's going to pull you out of your misery, and God will pull you out of that place. He says there in that essay, he says that God is hoping. There's no, you're only hoping, like, maybe I'm going to be one of those that are somehow saved. And you don't even know, like, why should you get saved? Like, why are you roi for salvation? Like, what makes a person roi for salvation? So there's no hatama, there's no synchronization between this world and the next world. These are two different, two completely diametrically opposed worlds, and therefore, how could one travel from one world to the next? If two worlds are diametrically opposed to each other, what's your passport? There's no passport. In Christianity, the only way to get in is if God reaches over from that place and pulls you out of hell. And then what kind of a Gan Eden is it anyway for you? What kind of a paradise is it for you? You're a Ben Gehenna. What are you doing in Gan Eden? You know? Lahavdil Alef Alfei Hevdalos, what the Maharal is teaching is that a Ben Olam Haba means someone who in this world, every moment of his life, he's conditioning himself so that when he leaves this world, he leaves this world and he himself is able to walk with his head up tall, high, into the next world. And the transition is like Rabbi Nachman said before he died, when they were crying. Rabbi Nachman said, what are you all crying about? What's everybody crying about? Rabbi Nachman said, for me, believe me, it's like changing coats. From this world to the next world is like changing a coat. What's everybody getting so upset about? Because for him, since he had refined himself to such a level, the transition from this world to the next was not traumatic at all. Was not traumatic. Or as Chazal described Moshe Rabbeinu's leaving this world, like a neshika, a kiss, or like pulling the hair out of milk, right? It's a delicate, the transition is it's delicate, it's sweet, because he's a Ben Olam Haba in this world. There's already, those two worlds become aligned here. That's what he's explaining. That's the pshat maral, to be Muchen Olam Haba, and to know that every moment of your life, to know that you're a person who's Muchen Olam Haba. So he says, So obviously, he explains, that the greater your madrega in this world, pshita, it's obvious, that the more you work in this world, the more you are meilus in this world, and Torah mitzvahs, the more you are, you are conditioned, and the more you are aligned with that place in Olam Haba. In other words, the way to look is a very interesting way to look at it. It's not a chiddush. It's just the way he's explaining the morale is very, very clear. That Olam Haba, if we would picture such, you know, like make believe is like a physical thing. The point is not that it's a place that's shut, and that in this world I do like a lot of good stuff. I try to do a lot of good stuff and I have some bad stuff. And then there are different places, like there are different doors, like in the old show, door number one, door number two, door number three. So depending upon how I scored, so then they say, you get in the door number two, and everybody claps, all the mishpach and friends, you got door number two, the gewaldig. And we grew up thinking like this. So that's door number two, and they put you in a place with people that have, like, your statistics, like your batting average. So if you batted like 280, you're with a chaver like the batted 280. No, the morale is saying not like that. What the morale is saying is that Olam Haba is completely open. Open. Completely open. The Indian of this world is how to aim. That's all. Aiming yourself. Lining things up. It's not the pshat that I get points and then I'm able to open a certain door. If I live a certain way, the greater my madrega in this world, the more of the hata'ama, that means that I'm aligned with that which is wide open and available to me. I align myself with that. I'm aligned. It's there all the time. And it's a question of perfecting oneself and of reaching a madrega where I'm aimed at that nakuda. Because in my life, if I lifted myself up to a certain madrega, that means that I'm aimed towards that point of what Olam Haba means.
By doing this, Pliny could be sitting on the same table as Sally Kadar, or not necessarily. He's in the same room, but not on the same madrega.
It says in the Slonim Svarim that also the Nesiv Sholem brings down a lot, I think from the Lechevich or the Kabrina, I don't remember, that a person who didn't experience Einik Shabbos in this world, a real Einik Shabbos, not just a fress, but an Einik Shabbos, so even when he comes to the next world, so they'll give him Gan Eden because he was a good Jew. So even if he was a good Jew, but he didn't have an Einik being a Jew, he wasn't excited about his Yiddishkeit. So the Slonim has said that an Olam Haba is also going to sit like a shtickholz, like a piece of wood. He's not going to feel anything. It's scary. So in other words, you could have a person, you could have two people that are sitting in, so to speak, at the same table, let's say, using that lashon, who are sitting at the same table in Olam Haba, and one of them is like looking at his watch, like, you know, when do we get on with the program? And the other one is soaking it in. And you know something? It's the exact same thing in this world. And that's the maimer of the tzaddikim that's brought from Yismach Moshe. When Yismach Moshe wanted desperately, you know, Yismach Moshe was always about the gula, and he was very much focused on the end. So Yismach Moshe wanted desperately to see what's it like in Olam Haba. So he saw a vision of Olam Haba when he went to sleep. And what did he see? He saw a couple of old tzaddikim sitting around the broken table learning Gemara. So he had a terrible chalishas das. He said to the Baruch Shalom, that's what I'm doing my whole life over here. I'm sitting around a broken table learning Gemara. What's going on? What happened? What changed? So the Baruch Shalom told him, you think that tzaddikim are in Gan Eden. Gan Eden's in the tzaddikim. That was the answer. You think that Gan Eden is the place, now the tzaddik goes into this place. Gan Eden is not a place where you go into. Gan Eden is a state of mind that goes into you. And therefore, one person who's sitting by a black gemara at a broken table, even in this world, for one person it's a Gan Eden. Right? You could be sitting in a shir, and you're watching that guy, that sharp guy, and you see he's mamash in Gan Eden. He's like arguing with the rabbis, it's great. And you're watching the clock, and you're dying. You don't know what to do. So, lefi the madrega, the madrega of a person in this world of refining himself to that madrega, is he making himself a person who's more matim, who's more. I'm not saying a good word for matim in English. Yeah, that's not bad. That's good. That's good. Who's compatible? Perfect. Who's compatible with that mitzias of Olam Haba? Right. He has that compatibility. That's what it is. Like Lahavdil. I once my kids have a computer. I never worked a computer in my life, and I saw some like a nice thing like a game for them or something that I thought would be nice, and I bought it for them. And I walked in, and I thought they'd be so excited. They said, "This doesn't go without computer." So I said, "What's this? It's for computers. and we have a computer. Like, what? Just put it in." So the kids started telling me like numbers and this and that, and I had no idea. I thought that everything goes into the computer. No, they're not. So the kid said to me, "It's not compatible." Is that the lesson? That's what I remember. It's not compatible. It's not compatible. In other words, you have a certain program, and you have the machine. I'm just guiding it. It doesn't go. So that's a good word, because compatibility means that person who in this world, in this life, his life is a life of Torah mitzvahs, and so then he is compatible to what's going to happen. Not, oh, let's give this guy something good. No, it's mukhan. It's waiting. It's there. He's compatible with what's waiting for him. He's compatible with what's there. Not to be to create a mitzvah. But he in his life has made himself compatible to that, to what's there, to that mitzvah of Olam Haba. So
now what's there for everyone is different, or what's there for everyone changes?
It's like this. It's all available.
Right.
The shaila is compatibility.
Compatible,
depending on what you did in your life. So depending on what you did in your life, so you are compatible to this level of ruchnis in the next world. Now there are different things that a person goes through, and you know, Michael Echal, there's such a thing in the next world also. Different, going up from one Rivega to another and so on. I'm not getting into that. But let's just say when we start off, it could be like Nussi was saying, it could be you put two guys in the same Bechina, the same Mitzias. For one guy, it's Olam Haba. It's a higher Madrega of Olam Haba. For the other guy, since he's not Muchen, he's not ready for this. It's like that with anything in life. You put somebody into something he's not ready for. If there's no hat'amah, there's no compatibility, then it's not comfortable.
But wouldn't he now end up where he wouldn't be compatible? Wouldn't he end up where he is compatible?
In other words, he is on a level, he is in a, depending upon what he did in his lifetime, he is going to be, his chelik in Olam Haba, that's why it's his chelik in Olam Haba, it's true. It's compatible, it's coordinated with what he was able to achieve. That's true. However, in comparison to the higher madregas, lu yitzuya. In other words, for him to be in a different place or a different point, it wouldn't be for him an oinig. It wouldn't be a delight. Now, is it delightful for him where he is? The answer must be that of course it is, because a person has a chelik in Olam Haba. It must be delightful wherever he is. But it does say in the Sefer HaKadosh that he has an awareness of what it could have been, and that can cause some degree of frustration, even from one madrega to the next, right?
So, and just have this bad mental picture of the guy like shifting in his chair, looking at his watch, and all of a sudden told to face Mason. Is that the?
I tell my children, they ask me 1,000 questions about Mashiach, what's going to happen with this and that. So I always said to them, because one of my kids got nervous because there's a lot of traffic by how are you going to get to the Harabayas and all these things. So I said, what do you think, the Baruch Shalom is not going to work that out? I mean, the Baruch Shalom will work it out. I don't know how. He asked me a question. It's Takir problem. It's hard to get to sometimes to get up to the Kaisel these days. Loss of love, or what's going to be? So I always say, the Baruch Shalom God is. We'll get to that point. We'll worry about. We'll get to that. So it can't be chalila that a Jew would suffer if he was zeicha to a place in Olam Haba. It can't be that suffering. So it must be that it's a very sublime awareness on some level. But to say to look at it, God forbid, in a depressing way. It's difficult to say. It's hard to say such a thing, to hear such a thing.
Perhaps the wife and the mother always said he could have been a doctor. Kind of.
Well, that's torture. mine always said lawyer. Never said doctor. It was always lawyer. But there is some subtle awareness of the different madregas. There is an awareness. Yeah. Nevertheless, you see, it's hard for us because we're limited to a physical way of thinking. So in our physical way of thinking, this is how we go. If it's good, it can't be bad. If it's bad, it can't be good. But that's not the highest madrega. We're stuck in that way of thinking. It's either good or bad. But there is such a madrega that something is completely good and completely bad. What does that mean? That's Adlo Yodah ben Arhamalach Baruch Mordechai. That's the madrega of Adlo Yodah. That's a very high madrega. Adla yada. It's only on Purim. Purim is only once a year. The Purim is a b'china of Olam Haba. Purim is a yontif that lasts till the end of time, because Purim has that ability to do that. Adla yada means that it's possible that it could be Aruham and Baruch Mordechai can somehow meet together in one place, to be able to be noise shnei hafochim, to be able to exist with two in a way of such a paradox, and not to sense that it's a paradox. So in this world, it only happens when you get drunk. So the drinking removes that barrier between the possible and the impossible. But in the Olam HaEmes, it's possible. But we can't even describe it. Well, you're, in other words, you're right. So what kind of an Olam Haba is it if I'm sitting there thinking, knowing that I could, what Yenim has, like what the other guy has. So you know that we can't even handle that Olam Haza. Did the guy get so upset because the neighbor got something, you know? Just thinking, I finally finished my house and I'm finally happy. And he went ahead and he bought, and he put on an extension to his house. And now I can't even enjoy my house. So we're not even mastering it. Forget about Olam Haba. We're not even mastering it in there, you know, any stupid thing we can't even see. How's it possible? So how's it possible that a Jew should be able to have complete simcha and at the same time have an awareness of what wasn't achieved? We don't know. But that has to do with the din in Shemayim, and we don't understand it. So when we get there, well, I guess, 120. You know, Tuli Rapshitzer wanted very, very barely to see what was in Olam Haba. And he kept on bothering the Rebbeinu Shlomo about it until he said, then he used to daven and call out and they ask what's, so until finally they saw that he stopped saying anything. So the Chayz asked him, Naftali, what happened? I don't hear you talking about Olam Haba anymore. So this is because last night the Rebbeinu Shlomo told me, Naftali, if you want to see it, you can come. So they said, you want so badly, so I'll come, I'll bring you, take a look. No, so we'll wait, Mitzvah, we'll see. So this is what he's explaining. It's very important. Yeah, upshita again. Kechol sheha adam hu bal madrega gadol yoyser kach yesh ni yoyser as hat ama ben levan olam haba. There's more of this compatibility. Umemela yiske lechelik nichbet yoyser olam haba. Umemela he's compatible with a higher chelik. Mushum kach av katan shemay zarche lechel olam haba. So therefore, the child gets a chelik olam haba. Why? Ki yehol v'katan zeh. B'shem Yisrael Yechuna, since Sof Kosof, this baby is a Jew, he's a Jew. That means that there's already compatibility to begin with. He starts off compatible. Okay, it's not the different Madregas, but he starts off already. B'shem Yisrael Yechuna. Harei Shere B'Navsho, Nimtzeis HaHachone V'Hachshor L'Torah Mitzvahs. That means that he possesses a soul that is compatible with Olam Haba. We pass Cain, af cotton zemishtach livneha adam haruchnim. Therefore, even this baby who never even lived in the world, he belongs to the club of Yisrael. A club that's called Yisrael, that are ruchnim, that beteva, they have this compatibility. Hatoyamim hetev loylam haba, venimnim al boi sha'arav. Vidovizem afurish become a karmis besvarav. We see this in a number of places in the Moral Svar. L'dugma b'derech chayim peregvav mishnehei. He writes over there, kasher lo hoya nimshach acher haguf ba'olam hazeh. When a person is not drawn after the physical body in this world, he's not obsessed with physical things. Rakhaya kulay nivdal. If it was a Jew who in this world was kulay nivdal, he lived a life in this world where he was completely immersed in spirituality. Ulefichach ba'olam haba. Therefore, in the world to come, she'ein shom achilo she'siyah gufanis, where there's no eating or drinking, there's no physical life, oz yetayvlo. Right? That's exactly what we're talking about. Then it will be good for him. Because in this world, eating and drinking meant nothing to him. Or it only meant, like it says in the Chassid Swam, the eating and drinking itself was a spiritual experience, right? That itself is a spiritual experience. So therefore, for this person who did not indulge in physical eating and drinking in this world, he's very compatible with the next world. Why? Because the next world is a world where there's no eating and drinking, where there's no physical existence. So now for us, so we're thinking, Rabbi Shalom, at least give me some spare ribs, something, right? That's how we think. You know, when we were kids, so my hasaga was, a fiberglass backboard, hitting every jump shot, right? A lot of fans, a buzzer, the whole thing. That's like, that's the hasaga. But we just become more sophisticated, but we really don't outgrow a lot of these hasagas. We don't outgrow them. So for that person for whom eating and drinking in this world meant nothing, or better yet, it meant the next world. It meant an opportunity to come to come close to Hashem. When a tzaddik eats and drinks, it's a carbon, right? So then when you introduce him to that world where there's no eating and drinking, he says, it's mamish hamish over here. This is fine, good. Adarabba. But for the person who is embedded in the physical world, so the pain of death and the pain of Gehenna, Hashem Yirachim, means separating you from that. That's painful. Because we're holding on tight. Moshe Rabbeinu is like taking a hair out of milk. Moshe Rabbeinu from this world to the next world. Rabbi Nachman is like changing a coat. What do you? It's such a sweet and soft transition. But for the person who's committed to physical things, then you have the incompatibility. And incompatibility always causes pain. That's always painful.
So you have a little taste that's, say you're 10% compatible. Or is that, you know what I mean? I mean, are you experiencing some form of frustration that you're embedded in physicality, even though there's a part of you that's still compatible?
Every single Jew, there's a part of every single Jew that's compatible. Baruch Hashem. Every single one of us. Even in this parasha is Kisikna Eved Ivri. Even if a Yid is Nebuch a slave. So he can go out by Shemitah, he can go out. Even if he doesn't want to go out, he says, Lo Yetzei Chavshi, Ahavti Yisadayin. I love being physical. I love eating and drinking and being meshubah to the physical world. So then it says, Va'avodah La'olam. Right? What does it mean, Va'avodah La'olam? Pashup Pshat, Va'avodah La'olam means, Pashup Pshat means that he'll remain a slave forever. But we know the Chazal. We know, Baruch Hashem, we're Bala Kabbalah, right? We receive the Kabbalah. That Va'avodah La'olam doesn't mean forever. What does it mean? It means till Yovel. Right? Chanelam inside of a Jew that will not allow him to remain forever enslaved to physical things. That nakuda, that point inside each and every one of us, that point, that even this Jew who wasn't able to hear, ad kedei kach, that he wanted to remain a slave and they banged his ear against the door. Oizen zu, oizen zoisha shomal har sinai, right? Avodai hei. Even that Jew, he'll hear the shayf of Mashiach. He also can hear. So there's a nakuda inside each and every one of us. There is a point, the inner essence and point of a Jew. And that's really what he's saying. Even though there's percentages of incompatibility, because we botched up stuff during our life, naturally we're compatible, but we made ourselves incompatible. But the pnimius of the pnimius is that every Jew has a chelik l'olam haba, even though he might have to go through difficulties to get there. Hashem Yirachim. Why does he have to go through difficulties? Because that's taking away the spare ribs and the fiberglass backboards. You know, that's taking away the, you know, whatever it is in this world that you were attached to. That's painful. But ultimately, every Jew has a shaykhis to Yovel. Every Jew eventually goes free. There's no such thing as a Jew who's a slave forever. Can't be. There's no, why? Because it's not who he is. He's not really a slave. He thinks he's a slave. He sold himself into Avda. He thinks he's a slave. He acts like a slave. He identifies himself as a slave. But Emes, he's not a slave. That's what's so upsetting when there's a person who's who made himself into an eved. Why the Rebbein Shalom so upset with such a metzias of a Jewish slave? How could it be that the ear that heard at Har Sinai, Avadai Haim, that you're my servant, that you're supposed to be servants of Hashem, instead you became like this, like an eved of this world? That's the incompatibility between what you're doing in your life and who you really are. Isn't that's what causes all of us unhappiness? Forget about after we die. What about the misery we have right here? Why are we unhappy in this world? There's only one reason we're unhappy. Only one reason why a Jew is unhappy. It has nothing to do with the stock market or anything else. There's one reason why a Jew is unhappy in this world. It's because the way that he's living is incompatible with the way that he truly is. Zehu. That's the only reason the person's unhappy. All of our unhappiness comes from that. That what I am doing is incompatible with who I am. Because then you can't have any simcha. You can't have simcha if your life is not revealing who you really are. You can't have simcha. You can have moments of happiness and this and that joy. You know, you feel good. You have a piece of candy, it's geschmack. But you can't have a real simcha. There's always something that's bothering me, annoying me. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, and I don't have the best wife, I don't have the best kids, I don't have the best house, the best car, v'chul v'chul. It's because of that ihatama in this world before the next world. In this world. Right? But when a Jew is living in this world, and he's a ben olam haba, you could deprive him of everything of this world. He doesn't have not food, not drinks. and he's besimcha. Why? Why is he besimcha? The Rebbe of Zushi lived in such simcha. He had nothing. If you or I would see how the Chavetz Chaim lived, we wouldn't be able to imagine how he could be happy. We wouldn't be able to imagine. We'd feel terrible. We'd probably all get together and try to go, like, to get him some stuff, make him happy. And you know, the Chofetz Chaim is famous. He said that among the traveling through this world, right? So, but we wouldn't be able to even understand how could the Chofetz Chaim be happy like this, right? When you and I take trips, we should be zeichet to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we go through some neighborhoods where there are poor Jews that are learning Torah mitachat chak, right? They're sitting in they're learning Torah in difficult situations. You can't imagine. Like my kids, the kids in Ezra. So how many times? They can't understand. I mean, how could someone be happy if you don't have a television? How could you be happy? Or you don't go anywhere on a Motzei Shabbos. You don't go anywhere. You don't go out. How could you be happy? So it's only because if you in this world, if there's no hatama, if there is no compatibility, then there's no happiness. So that person who's stuck to the television, he can only understand happiness in terms of television. But for the Chofetz Chaim, it had nothing to do with food, with eating or drinking or parties. It had nothing to do with this world at all. Therefore, the transition to the next world for the Chofetz Chaim is taking here out of milk. That's all.
How does it work if somebody, let's say, dies al Kiddush Hashem? So we usually give that status of Kedoshim, and it seems like an automatic pass. Yet,
not only that, the Shach says more than that. The Shach says even though the person didn't even want to.
Right. So that doesn't exactly stem with this whole hatama concept.
Dov's asking a good thing. What about Kiddush Hashem? What about if a person is killed because he's a Jew? Right. Not all the poskim agree with that, but most of the poskim agree. Huh? Meaning there's some sort of a...
Is there a free pass? Is that the...
But how could that be? According to what the Maharal is saying, no? According to what the Maharal is saying is that we're not talking about points and special gold cards. We're talking about hatama, which means being aligned and being coordinated. So then, how could it be that a person whose whole life is mamish, completely immersed in physical things, and he's killed on Kiddush Hashem because he's a Jew. He's killed. So how could it be that there should be this Elam Haba? Unless you say that somehow, like we see that Misa, but Misa even without Al Kiddush Hashem, what's the kapara of Misa? What is Misa? What does it mean? What does the death accomplish? Or in this case, when a person was killed because he's a Jew, what does it accomplish? It reveals who he is, Be'etzim HaNefesh, it reveals who he is. In other words, even though in his life he was toying with the idea of he was toying with a non-Jewish lifestyle. He lived a non-Jewish lifestyle. He wasn't putting on tefillin. He wasn't living a Jewish lifestyle. But if he's killed because he's a Jew, that means that somehow the Satan himself was able to reveal that he's a Jew. Was able to be megala such a thing. Was able to be miyaseid such a to reveal this metzias of who he really is. It's a hard thing to understand. I mean, you have something to say about what's the meaning of Kiddush Hashem? Of dying on Kiddush Hashem?
First question is, when someone dies, go to heaven for a certain amount of period of time, then they go to heaven, and that won't be there.
So Gehenna, the point of Gehenna, as I was explaining, I think, the point of Gehenna is to align the person, to take away the toys and the games and the food and to so Kiddush Hashem somehow accomplishes that. But what's interesting is that even if the person if it's a case of a person that says that they give him a choice and the person says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right, I'm going to die as a Jew, I think we're all comfortable with that. That's an amazing thing. That clarifies the whole thing. But what about the person who goes down screaming and yelling and kicking? I don't want to die. I don't want to do this.
I'm not a Jew.
He screams at this guy. God forbid, and he's killed. So according to the Shachis, he's a ben adam haba. Even though he's kicking and screaming, it's not me.
Perhaps
the goy says it is you.
Perhaps a step further, what the Rebbe was saying before, that there's something that Mises Mechaper. What's Pshat Mises Mechaper? Because somehow it's Ma'ir of certain things, and if he knows at the time that he's getting killed because he's a Yid, somehow that's...
So there's some sort of his service, but or in a very shocking and brutal way, it removes the deception, it removes the lie. It takes it away in a moment. Even though he himself says, I don't want to. But like while he's going, there's somehow something happens, some transformation takes place. This requires more, it's a good question, it requires much more machshava. It's a very good question. Yes, you were thinking of something?
I think Ganem is also brutal. You know, a person doesn't enjoy Ganem either. That's also ripping away from my Mahaza.
Correct.
So the same thing as he's kicking and screaming, I don't want it. I say it's the same thing as Ganem.
It was the refinement. Yes, so that's what we're saying. So that refinement is taking place. That kor habazel that he's being passed through tears away Elam Hazza from him. We thank God we never went through this, so we can't understand to what degree.
Right. There's no kasha that he gets a chelak. I guess I'm just asking: is it comparable to the person who had this hatama's entire life? That we give a certain status of kedushin implies that it's even
a there's a status of haruga malchus. It's a very chash of a place in Olam Haba, haruga malchus, right? It's a very chash of ayin leirasa. It sounds like it's a very exalted. It's a very exalted place. I think we need to think about this more. This is a very important nekuda, and we have to think about it more. But it's good that you marry it. Let's go a little bit further, and this footnote, as you see, is very important because it's bringing this whole union together. So he says, so that's what it says in there. Chaim and Pirkei Avos over there. Kizel adam nivdol gamer nachaim or baylam habesh who nivdol sham toiv lo. So the guy that wasn't into eating and drinking into this world and partying, so when he comes to the next world, it's perfect. It just fits him. It's perfectly compatible. Ubas nehedrin peiches amud beiz armu shalchem yisam ezu ben alam habesh. Who's a ben alam haba? Anvison, Ushval Berach, a humble person. Now he's pointing out something else. A humble person, Ushval Berach. The Gemara says, who's a person that's a real ben alam haba? So the Gemara identifies that there's one quality that more than other qualities that prepares you for alam haba. What's that? Anivus, shiflus, which means humility. That's a gold card. How? Shayfar, Shayfanofik, Vigoris Baraisa, Tadira. That he was Hailuf Banachas, he was Yotzeh Banachas. In other words, this person was an Onav. He carried himself in a way that was gentle and quiet and peaceful and humble. He went in that way. He left the world that way. He studied Torah whenever he could. So listen to how the Maral explains. Because of Shah Mechdush HaGodes, Dov is Emavur, Ki Ein Roy Lo Olam Haba Shu Nivdol Min HaGashmi. Now, Olam Haba is a place that's Nivdol Min HaGashmi. It's separated from physical things. For Olam Poshut, it's an Olam Poshut. It means it's uncomplicated, because only physical existence has different parts, pieces, components. But Olam, but Ruchni is Poshut. It's smooth. It's straight. It's clear. It's not composed. Rak Mishul. Therefore, what's the mita that prepares a person? What is that special mita that makes a person so matim, so compatible with Olam Haba? So the Maral's explaining, it's anivus, it's humility. Why? Because what does humility mean? Rak mishu bal anova u bal taira. These two, bal anova, he says, who poshut? The person who's an anov, he's uncomplicated. Doesn't mean he's not, he's brilliant, does he? He can be brilliant, that's not the point. He's anov, which means that in his life, there are no artificial barriers between him and the Rav Shalom. He has that humility, that simplicity. Therefore, he says about Anovah, he's Poshut. Ke'elush named Smudim Yachad, Anovah Vatar, and it goes very well. Anivus and Torah. They go together perfectly. Because Anivus means what? It means humility, means simplicity. And Torah means what? Torah means also that which is not physical. The bigger the Anov, the less physical. The less Meshubit he is to this world. He doesn't hold that he deserves anything in this world. It's not coming to him in this. This world doesn't belong to him. That's not what interests the Anov. And he's not talking about somebody who's a shmata. We shouldn't make a mistake. Anivus doesn't mean somebody who just doesn't have any self-respect, that he's not a shmata. That's not anivus. Anivus, not to be confused with that. That's false anivus. Hanover v'atari ki el ha-seich l'roi midas ha-pshitas. Ki el ha-seich l'roi midas ha-pshitas. this mida of pshitas and seichel, which is the seichel of Torah. L'chein lef or l'kach elam habeshu elam nivdal pashut sarach shiyah balanovu bal Torah v'azroi lo elam habeshu pashut nivdal. Then he's compatible with elam habeshu. Umashama shayef, I have shayef enoughik. Perish kasha heilich benachas v'yoytze benachas. A Jew who in this world is heilich benachas and is yoytze benachas shu bal hashkeit menucha. He's a bal sheket, a bal menucha. He doesn't make a tumult. He is not a turbulent person. He doesn't scream and demand and expect. He's heilich benachas. This is good. It's fine. It's okay. You put me in this place and this shit. It's good. He doesn't demand. He's not noisy. Olam Haba is a very quiet place. Quiet, meaning what? It's a place of menucha. Lekach eno heilich b'mehirus. What does it mean to be heilich benachas? He's not rushing in this world. A person who's frantic and rushing, it's a simon that this world is something which affects him. That's why he's nervous. He's always nervous. Because this world has an impact upon him. But if you meet a tzaddik and a kaddish, he goes like this in such a way, shayef, ayel, shayef, shayef and nothing. The way of the tzaddik is that this world doesn't impress him. He has menucha. He's a bal menucha. He has yishuv hadas. He's a bal menucha. He's not affected by the world. He affects the world. He's not changed by the world. He changes the world. That's the bal menucha. The ones who are screaming and yelling and humbling and this and that, and they're making a tumult, their whole lives is a lot of noise, is because everything that happens in this world changes his mood. Therefore, he's a subject of this world. He's enslaved to this world. If the stock market is up, I'm happy. If the stock market is down, I'm sad. If my wife looked nice today, I'm happy. If my wife didn't look nice today, I'm sad. He's the biggest balgeshem. Because he's a slave to everything that happens in this world. But the tzaddik who goes in this way of nachas, of menucha, he's a ben olam haba. Because this world doesn't tell him how to feel. This world's not dictating to him. This world doesn't control him. He's a bal menucha. Therefore, you understand that he's ready for olam haba. He has that menucha, that peacefulness, that serenity, that inner quiet. Therefore, he doesn't have to rush. Zeroy lo olam haba, ki olam haba hakol sheket umenucha. Isn't it interesting? Olam haba is hakol sheket umenucha. Right? That's olam haba. Everything's quiet and peaceful. But it doesn't have to do with decibels. It doesn't have to do with noise. It has to do with being who you are, where you belong. Then you don't have to run around and scream and yell all the time. Why are we screaming and yelling and nervous all the time? Because I feel that this is not where I belong. Or something's happening and it's affecting me this way. It's affecting me this way. I remember once, and we'll end with this because we need to get home. But those who are driving, I'm worried they should get. I remember that Rav Shlomo Freifeld once said, I was once buying for Shalda Shudas. To remember where we're up to, you make a point. So once I was by Shalda Shudas, and Rav Freifeld was saying that when he was that in Chaim Berlin, back in the old days when he was learning in Chaim Berlin, there was a huge Talmud Chacham, and nobody ever understood. Like, you could ask him questions in learning, and he was, he could outlearn anybody. He's an older man, and he never understood, like, how come Rav Hutna never gave him to say a shiur? The guys, like, didn't understand, like, how come he sits in the Beis Medrash, he learns all the time, people go ask him, but, like, nobody ever asked him to say a shiur. Rav Hutna, never asked him. And he said that a couple of times the guys asked the Rosh Hashiva, they asked Rav Hutna, like, maybe, so-and-so would say a shiur. Rav Hutna would always find some way, like, to get out of it. So then the way it used to be is that the guys used to go eat, Shabbos, they used to be by different people, the Bachrum. So Rav Freifeld said that he also never understood, nobody ever went to this guy's house, Shabbos. So he was so enamored by this man, Rav Freifeld said, that he got together two other guys, and he went, even though that person was not on the list of the yeshiva to go for Shabbos, of people to call up, he went over and he asked, but these two guys, can we come for Shabbos? Could come Friday night to eat? And he said, sure, he was happy. So that was great. So Rav Feifel said that he went with these two bachim. They come to the house, and they were eating and talking and learning. He said, it was gewaldig. Zmir is terrific. So then all of a sudden, so he says to his wife, he says, okay, bring me my beer, the beer. I'd like to have beer. So she turned white, and she started to mumble, and she said, I forgot to buy the beer for Shabbos. So he started to scream. He says, give me my beer. So and Rav Feifel said they were getting very uncomfortable, you know, and she says I don't know what to do. I'll try to find it by a neighbor. I don't have, and I don't know what to do. And but you know, there's no Erev, and maybe, you know, she starts to get nervous. So he starts to pound on the table. Get me my beer. And you know Reb Shlaim, he showed the whole thing. I was like, he says, get me my beer. And she said, I don't have it. So he said that he started banging the table. He said, with the candle, one of the candles fell down. Mechal Shabbos. Wine is spilling, things are falling. And he said that we just started to, you know, the guys, like we backed off, and we like thought to leave out. When they left, he says, when we left the house, he was standing up and shaking the table and screaming. So they came Sunday morning. They saw the Rosh Hashiva. They didn't tell the Rosh Hashiva. Rav Hutna knew the whole thing. They went, you know, Rav Hutna knew. He knew everything that was going on. So Rav Hutna said, "No, you understand why he's not a Rosh Hashiva? You understand why he's not a Rosh Hashiva?" So Rav Feifel was explaining. He brought a certain pasuk from Mishlei. I don't remember what the pasuk was. Many years ago, but he brought a pasuk from Mishlei. That you see that a person, what's a balkaz? It's a balkaz. Here you have a person, alamdan, a tremendous talmid chacham. You can talk to him, call it tarkula. And for a beer, he'll destroy his wife, he'll be mechal Shabbos, for a beer. And I think, I remember, Rav Feifel said that she had a different brand of a beer. She brought out something, she had a beer. It's not my beer! My beer! You know? For this, But you see that a person who's learned and learned and learned is the biggest balgashim, like the biggest fresher, that he's ruining he'll destroy his wife and Shabbos and everything for what? What the moral is saying is that a ben adam hab is a bal menucha, is a bal shaket. A bal menucha doesn't mean that he doesn't yell and learning, screaming and learning. Wow, that's part of the that's not. But it means that this world doesn't get to you. Yeah, have this beer, have that beer. By my father's uncle's inside. I remember times that my mother forgot to take care of the whole meal. You know, she was busy with her friend shopping all day or something, and my father comes home. He used to come home 8 o'clock at night, 8:30 at night, and you know, washes up and sits down, and my mother goes, "Uh oh," you know, and my father would say, "No, okay, I'll find the fruit or something." No, I never heard even the slightest, not the slightest tremor. Or we get stuck in the car on the road. So my kids know, like I had my issue, you know, you get stuck, you're like, we're going on a big trip, right? So I'm calling my trip. And then we're like halfway there, right? And then we're stuck. So I go, I can't believe it, what's going on? I start with all these lashinas, you know, like, and my kids said, what do you mean, can't believe it? You know? So we're in the middle of nowhere, I'm like, having a mechanic. And I was growing up with my father, this happened many times. I never saw the key who's there. My father would just get out and say, you go away on the side, let me see what I could do. Not like, you know, the whole world starts to cave in. We're such babies. I mean, I'm speaking about myself. Babies. Because we're such b'nei olam hazeh, that the second the olam hazeh doesn't go the way that we planned, shine. Finished. Where's my beer? Second it doesn't go the way I planned it. A meeting, this, that. You see people stand by the train. They miss the train. They come down to the track too late. You got these ball players. They're getting paid like millions of dollars, and the guy strikes out. He bangs his hand, and he's out. He's out for the rest of the season because he smacks his hand against the concrete. He starts pounding the concrete. He's out for the season. It's baligeshem. You know, it's like baligeshem. No control. So the Baruch Hashem should help us that we should be bala menucha, and that we should come to Madrega v'ad l'yoda. Okay. Sure.